Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen. Dear saints, this evening John narrates for us one of the many healings that Jesus accomplished during his ministry. But there's an extended story afterwards. We are told that the man who was healed was not born blind because of any sin he committed or any sin that his parents had committed. All of us are born into this sinful world with one sort of infirmity or another, and it was no different with this man. But Jesus took this man's blindness and used it to display God's work. He healed the man. But what we want to consider this evening, it's not so much the healing itself, but the reaction to it. The man's reaction, the reaction of those who witnessed the miracle, and of this group of Pharisees. The man born blind, I would argue, was actually healed in two ways. First, obviously, cured of his physical blindness, but second, of his spiritual blindness. We understand physical blindness, the loss of the sense of sight. We know that those who are blind have to rely on other senses to get around in this world. Someone who was born blind, like the man in our text, can't even really comprehend what it means for a thing to look like something. This blindness Jesus healed quite openly, quite publicly, on a Sabbath. But the story goes on. After the man is healed, and the people and the Pharisees are going back and forth trying to figure out what happened, Jesus finds the man again and asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he that I may believe in him? You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. Lord, I believe." And the man worshiped Jesus. Through Jesus' words, the man believed. He was cured also of his spiritual blindness. He has new physical sight and new spiritual sight to both see the body of Jesus standing right there in front of him and to believe that this man is God, the Messiah, the promised one. And so he worships. Of course, it is possible to see physically and yet be spiritually blind. People who are spiritually blind grope around in the darkness of their own minds and their wills, trying to make sense of a world that really doesn't make sense without God. They look for meaning in this life apart from God. Through reason or emotion or strength of will, they attempt to determine what is real, what is just, what is right, but ultimately get nowhere. We get a hint of that in Paul's words from Romans this evening. Paul discusses people who have physical sight, who can see by nature that there must be a God. When they look around with their eyes, they see the beauty of what is created. They can see how things are supposed to be, how things are supposed to work in the world. Paul gives the example of relations between male and female. And yet many in the world refuse to see, refuse to acknowledge those things that are right there in front of them. Likewise, in our gospel reading, Jesus accuses some of the Pharisees of being spiritually blind, unable to see what is right in front of them and to believe it. The Lord God is standing there, right in the flesh, healing people, and yet they refuse to see it. They refuse to see what it all means. Of all the people of the time, these learned Pharisees should have known what to look for in a Messiah. And there it is, staring them in the face. But they miss it. So they go on and try to figure out what possibly could have happened to this man born blind. Maybe he wasn't really blind. Who knows what happened? They interrogate him. They question his parents. They accuse Jesus of being a sinner. And finally, they conclude, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, Jesus, we do not know where he comes from." And Jesus said, "For judgment, I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." I suppose the world is really no different in our time than it was in Jesus' time. It's almost as if things that should be so blatantly obvious to any reasonable person simply aren't. Though it may seem that the world is becoming increasingly blind, that spiritual blindness is at an epidemic, we should note that Paul wrote about this phenomenon 2,000 years ago. So it really shouldn't be a surprise that we still see this today. The world refuses to see. And if it refuses to see the things of reason, what we might call the things of natural law, how much more will it refuse to see the things of God? May it not be so among us. Your invitation to others to come and see, to come and see what God has done for you in Jesus, may be met with skepticism or even rejection. But it is not a weakness in you or a weakness in God or a weakness in God's word, for we know that the power of God is in the gospel. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. But take heart. Rejoice that your eyes, your spiritual eyes, have been opened to see the glory of God. Though the whole world may refuse to see it, God's Spirit can and does pull people out of their spiritual darkness into the light of Christ. So pray. Pray for those who you know that do not yet believe. Be vigilant in your witness to them. God can and does heal spiritual blindness. Each one of you is living proof of that. Praise be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.